A recent study reported in Fox News finds that 12th grade boys are becoming more conservative. Meanwhile, girls are trending to become more liberal. In fact, it's been described this way, overwhelmingly liberal. The boys apparently are somewhat rebelling against some of what they're being taught in schools. For example, that America is bad, that America has always been bad. Dr. Alex McFarland of Truth for a New Generation has a heart to reach young people, and he can comment on some of these trends. How do we pass on our American heritage to today's youth? That's a part of what we want to talk about right now on this portion of Vocal Point. Alex McFarland is our guest. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Alex, welcome back. It's so great to have you on. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Dr. Newcomb. It's always a blessing to be on. Thank you.
Sure. You can call me Jerry. Just don't call me late for lunch. Okay. Just kidding. Okay. So when it comes to today's youth, first of all, let's start with your opinions. How is it that this new study has found 12th grade boys are becoming more conservative and 12th grade girls at the same time are becoming more liberal? That's interesting.
Well, it is interesting. And, you know, as much as the woke left wants to fight against what you and I might call traditional gender roles, there's just something inherent and instinctive about boys growing up and becoming more masculine, little girls growing up and becoming more feminine. And if it weren't for 50 years of Western feminism, they'd embrace their femininity even all the more. But one thing that's interesting, Jerry, is not only are boys on a lot of social and moral and spiritual issues trending somewhat more conservative, boys and girls overall that are, say, 12 to 30, teens, late teens, young adults, are more conservative than their parents. And I base that on almost a 500,000 surveys we've done over the last 20 years of teenagers. But I would say to your earlier point that young ladies are skewing more and more liberal, less and less conservative. And I would say it's feminism. On the popular level, we might say feminism, but on the academic level, this enforced egalitarianism that kids are subjected to from toddlerhood up in media, entertainment, and certainly in public education.
Forced egalitarianism. Flesh that out, please.
Well, egalitarianism is based on a Latin word for equal. And the egalitarian ideology is that there is no difference between male and female, and there shouldn't be. And egalitarianism, this pervasive egalitarianism that's being really forced into our culture, there must be, in the minds of woke social architects, there must be economic egalitarianism. There must be sexual egalitarianism. Even human physiological egalitarianism. In other words, there can't be any difference between boys and girls, between heterosexual and homosexual. And little girls, by the way, another ideology that has to be acknowledged, its presence, is moral relativism. In other words, this militant autonomy that there are no moral boundaries, and not only do I have the right to make all my own rules, I really have an obligation to do so. So little girls are robbed, I think, very often robbed of one of life's greatest joys, which is marriage, heterosexual monogamy, a committed marriage relationship, family. What could be more rewarding than raising children? And though I know that progressives would scoff at this idea, baking cookies and teaching a little one how to say bedtime prayers or having family meal together, those things that are very dismissed as traditional values, Ozzie and Harriet, Jerry, those are the things that are the most meaningful parts of life, and they're a gift from God. But several generations of American young people have been robbed of these things because those that have been in the seats of power are so dismissive and even scornful of what you and I would call these traditional values.
And where does, love of country fit in? Where does patriotism fit in? Is it a privilege to be an American? As you and I are having this discussion, there are literally people from other countries who are risking their lives at certain places like the southern border and so forth in order to try to get here to come to America to maybe, have their shot at the American dream. In some cases, they may perceive, well, this is just, if I get there, they're just going to give me a lot of free handouts. But I'm sure there's a lot of people who are trying to come here who would be happy to work, but they want the opportunity to make something better of their lives. Meanwhile, Americans are often taught that America stinks, it's always been bad, and it always will be, until the Marxists have complete control. I'd like you to talk about America and attitudes toward America, especially among our young today.
Well, Jerry, you and I, we share a love of country, and not only having traveled to all 50 states, but five of the seven continents, I still believe America is the greatest nation on earth. America is the place to live. And I know because when I've been in third world countries and developing nations, Jerry, people have literally offered me money if I would bring their kids to be raised in America. And let me say, in so many of these countries like South America and Cuba and Africa and the Middle East, people very much want to come to America, not because of the dole or the entitlement programs that Democrats here in America have basically, like drug lords. The Democrats have spent 60 plus years getting many Americans who don't know any better addicted to government programs and government money. The people in foreign nations that want to get here for freedom and opportunity. And, Jerry, I am reminded.
Could I interrupt you real fast just to use a quick analogy of that? Dinesh D'Souza came from India, and in one of his films, I love this line, he said, "I love America because here in America, you can write your own script." Okay, go on.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You can write your own script. It's the American, what the founders called self-determination. And in the Declaration, when they talk about this natural right, this inalienable right of the pursuit of happiness, doesn't mean militant autonomy, that there are no rules, but I have the right to plot my own path. It's not a caste system. I don't have to do, just what generations of my parents did. And not only we don't have Dalits and elites. Anybody, if you're willing to work hard, live within your means and be moral, and I believe another added element is to pray and to seek first the Lord. I mean, you can be born into poverty and by young adulthood be affluent. America offers people opportunity. And I was going to mention the quote, the mystery of why natural born Americans, they don't appreciate what we've got here. The quote often attributed to Edmund Burke, I'm sure you'll know the actual source, but it says, "That which we obtain too easily, we esteem too lightly." You see, as George Washington said, liberty will look easy by and by when nobody has to die to get it. And since World War II, our grandparents, and for some listening, their parents, were raised by people that were married during the Depression. And our grandparents acutely knew what hunger and want was, so that when in the post-World War II boom of the 50s and 60s, unbridled prosperity came along, they appreciated it. But sadly, their kids, my peers, the boomers, my generation, to a large degree, did not appreciate it because we had never tasted want. And now we've got millennials and younger, literally everywhere I go. People lament the fact that they can't get employees to work. And I feel, Jerry, that if we don't have a return to God and morality, patriotism, and yes, a work ethic, we'll soon discovering what is again. You know, we talk about entry-level jobs like cooking hamburgers or something, or sweeping up a warehouse. Now, those are not what most would want for a career, but employment, gainful employment, is really a holy thing. The fact that you can trade your time for compensation. I tell kids, and we do this in all of our conferences and clubs and camps, Jerry, we say, look, view a job with gratitude, humility, and patience. Be grateful to God that you have employment. Humbly take the assignments given to you and be patient. And if you're faithful with A, eventually life will entrust you with B. It's really not just life, but God. And there are millions of people, and they've been coached to not really believe in God or truth, and, oh, heaven forbid, to love America. And yet, the American dream could have been theirs if they had virtue, if they had self-control, and if they had the humility to realize that life is a gift and we've been entrusted with the greatest nation in the world in which to experience all that life has to offer.
You know, within the last few weeks, there was an incident that shows this kind of sad attitude that some Americans have of really basically disregarding the nation itself and the opportunities it offers. There was a U.S. women's soccer team playing against the Vietnamese soccer team. And so before the actual game, there were the ceremonies. And while the national anthem of the United States was being played, most of the women's soccer people, including Megan Rapinoe or whatever, they boycotted the national anthem. Meanwhile, when the Vietnamese players sang theirs, they were very enthusiastic to support it. And I thought, that is so ironic in light of the freedom, the difference between freedom between those two different nations, ours and theirs.
Yeah, well, you know, Jerry, I just want to pull my hair out sometimes when I speak at American university campuses, because these liberal, hyper-liberal professors that really, you know, if you'll forgive me, they don't strike me as terribly intelligent, because just the requisite knowledge base that anyone needs to intelligently converse about American history, cultural, political, economic trends over the last 50 years, just to even understand the context of where we are. Most college professors can't even have this conversation intelligently. You know, and I'd be willing to listen to the reasons for their Marxism if they actually had cogent, explicable reasons.
Oh, we have about 1 minute left, just so you know.
90% of the college professors that are poisoning the minds of young people, they are merely parroting the anti-American, pro-socialist rhetoric that they were spoon-fed when they were in community college and then, you know, going to grad school on a grant.
Or it could even be at an Ivy League school. In fact, they're among the worst when it comes to, you know, anti-American values. Now half a minute left.
We need a return to God, family, and patriotism. And I think we would be pleasantly shocked to see how rapidly our country could be healed if we would humble ourselves, turn to God, commit to live morally, and to work hard and live right, just like our founders did.
Excellent. AlexMcFarland.com for more information. Alex, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Maybe next time we could talk more, and you could give us reasons for hope that maybe there are some young people who are starting to get it. I appreciate it, Alex. Thank you for all you do.
God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye.